Welcome back to our case study virtual retreat for clinical mastery of the digestive system. We're ready to move on to case number two. And this is a 54-year-old female, Karen, and she's 5'9", 135 pounds. So unlike our previous person, she's not overweight. She's probably more at an ideal weight for her body, possibly underweight if she's large framed. She's a realtor and a student in CMDS. So curious, Karen, are you moving into this field as doing health coaching, or are you just really frustrated with not getting results for yourself and wanted to learn on your own? 52, actually. Oh, okay. It said 54, I thought, on there, but maybe I made a mistake. In a committed relationship, no children. So her main complaint here is persistent acne. And her comment was likely hormonally related or due to some nutrient malabsorption. So we're going to go through that, and we're going to help to clarify and ask clarifying questions. And it looks like Karen put in a few other history things that I'm going to go back to in this chat. Actually, it's hard to do. All right. We'll get there in a second, and when I'm ready for it, I'm going to have you copy-paste that back into the chat when I'm ready for it, Karen, because it's backwards in the chat and too hard to find. And yes, she's moving into the field of a health coach. Fantastic. All right, so the Nutrival test is something that she did. Where are we? Oh, yeah, so she did a Nutrival test, and those of you who haven't seen it, you're going to love it, and we're going to go through it step by step. And it indicates some malabsorption as well as nutrients that are low, like B12, folic acid, glutathione, vitamin C, B1, B2. Actually, most of the B vitamins were low, omega-3 and 6 out of balance and more. She's working with a functional medicine nurse practitioner who suggested she do a 23andMe test to look at the MTHFR SNPs. And when we talk about that, there's a lot more that I'd want you to look at that I'm curious about than MTHFR. Check for SIBO and do a detox cleanse. Okay. She wants to know, is that a good idea? So let's figure this out. Let's work together. So again, a really good diet overall. So everybody has this idea of a really good diet, and it may be a really good diet for someone else. But if you're having issues with not getting nutrients in and symptoms, it may not be the right diet for you. So that's what we're going to help. She does this great stuff like dark green leafy greens every day, juice and smoothies every day. It's awesome. Eats lots of salads with many varieties of veggies, fresh garlic. I'm now gluten-free. Karen, it would be nice to know how long you've been gluten-free, because it says I'm now gluten-free. It's very limited dairy, occasional cheese, and also what does occasional mean? Eats grass-fed beef, wild-caught salmon, etc., and organic eggs. So, and then wanting to know, is it exclusively that or mostly that or halfway you're eating organic and sometimes you're eating out? But as I recall from your history, you're not eating out very much. Some fruits, and also want to know more about what fruits are they, you know, tropical fruits, is it just blueberries and low glycemic fruits, etc. And then she said she also includes superfoods like hemp seeds, chia seeds, and blueberries. So overall, a really excellent diet, especially like, you know, far superior to the standard diet. But we're going to look to see if there are things here that she can improve to improve her health. She's does regular yoga, she power walks, she lifts light weights, and she does some qigong. So she's active, she's doing some stress management stuff, she's eating fairly well, and we're like, why the heck isn't this working, right? She's been gluten-free only for about a month, and cheese once or twice a week. And again, I'm going to just give you some new definitions of occasional. Once or twice a week is not occasional. Once or twice a week is regular. Okay, occasional is once or twice a year or every so often. But whenever anybody's doing anything once or twice a week, then that can be contributing to their symptoms. If they're doing it once or twice a year and they have these symptoms throughout, it's unlikely to be one of the contributing factors. But once or twice a week is very regular. Even once or twice a month can be, because of the inflammation that can live on from eating foods that are causing an inflammatory or immune system response. Okay, so supplements and medications. She's taking a lot of stuff. She's taking turmeric, she's taking probiotic, ALA, magnesium, D3 sublingual, but how much D3? And for most of these things, I'd want to know, but in particular, I'd want to see the D3 because it has a lot to do with skin. And it did, the testing in the NutriVal didn't seem to show D unless I missed it. So the D3, what dose and how did you get testing to determine if you're low? Chlorella, Mighty Mock, a methyl B12 that she started after the NutriVal. So when this is again very good that you clarified that. Thank you. Because we might look at this and go, wait, she's taking methyl B12 and methylfolate, but her test results show that she's low. What's going on? And we're going down the wrong path, but she just started it after she got the test. But then this is a comment that I found interesting. So D3 is 5,000 IUs daily. And tell me when the last time you got that tested, if you got it tested, and what the level was. No drugs at all. But then I found in a later part of the history that she started a bioidentical hormone replacement the 1st of December, 75 milligrams progesterone and some estradiol. And here I'm going to open up your line because I want some clarification here, Karen, or you can open it up if you can find yourself. Just click the unmute. It'll probably be quicker if you do it yourself than for me to find you on the list because there's a lot of you on the list. Karen. Oh, there's two Karens too. So there you are. Hi, Karen.
Karen Nacelle. Thank you.
I know. Yeah, but both of you put in just Karen in the thing. So there's probably Karen Osborne and Karen. Yeah, it's like, okay.
Yep, I realized that after. Thank you. Sorry about that.
Those of you guys with more common names have to put your initials or your letters. With me, no big deal, right? And there's three Karens.
Yeah, there's another Karen too.
That's funny. Yeah, so the BHRT, what prompted that?
The hormone testing, the 24-hour hormone test that I had done back in just a month before the NutriEval. I had that done in October, and it showed low progesterone and low DHEA and the low on several of the estrogens, estradiol and the estriol.
Okay. And when you said the 24-hour, are you talking the Meridian Valley comprehensive one that shows all the metabolites?
No, I did. It was another one through Genova Diagnostics.
Okay, yeah, but they have a similar one. Does it show? Is it a very comprehensive one with several pages and it shows a lot of metabolites?
Yep, it's very complex.
Okay.
Honestly.
And you're just taking estradiol versus biased?
I believe in the cream it's, yeah, just progesterone and estradiol.
Okay, and so it's a cream, and you're applying it vaginally, vulva, skin?
Just on my skin, on my inner thighs is actually where I put it. But she also gave me, this one's a little embarrassing to talk about with everyone, but she also gave me the other type of estrogen cream that you can apply vaginally. That's a separate cream for, you know, like vaginal dryness and low estrogen. So that's
most likely a biased and most likely has estriol in it. My concern when I saw that you're just taking estradiol is throwing off the metabolites. And a lot of people don't really, and I'm not, you know, faulting, maybe she knows perfectly well how to analyze those tests, but a lot of people don't. And they just look at the tests and they just throw stuff together, but you really have to look at the metabolites. So we go through a lot of this on our NEPT calls. We do a lot of 24-hour urine tests and Dutch tests to go through that. So it's very important to see that. So I got my red flag, and the reason I wanted to ask you was seeing that you're on progesterone and some estradiol, that can be throwing those ratios off, especially what's called the estrogen quotient, which, you know, puts you at higher risk of breast cancer and things like that. So I'm, you know, it was for me like, oh, I want to find out more here, right? And also because, you know, your acne could be related to, it could be related to hormones. So we want to find out more about that. And that's another thing with going through like a history of chief complaint is what I have listed down as what you're in what we need to go and do more of is like, how long's the acne been happening? So maybe you can give us a little background on that.
Probably over 4 years. It started certainly at the point I was at what you'd consider premenopausal, at, you know, I'm 52, and it probably, I remember about 4 years ago, previous to really understanding more about natural and nutritional healing, you know, walked into the derm's office, and of course, you know, the quick fix is some sort of an antibiotic, which I did take for a couple of months. And, of course it all went away. And then I said, great, I'm getting off these drugs. And then 6 months later, it was back to the full blown situation. Mm. But obviously I didn't go back to antibiotics because I know that that's not a solution, of course.
Right.
So I'd say it's been at least 4 years, you know, and I never had a history of acne when I was, you know, the typical, you know, the teenager years. My siblings did, but I did not. I just had beautiful skin. And so it's been, you know, you think, oh, it's just cosmetic, but it's
really. No, it's not. It's way more than that.
You don't feel good about yourself. You're self-conscious and always have to put cover up on. It affects my, you know, I do all these other healthy, wonderful things, as you've seen. And then this is my big.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. And it's more than just, you know, it's cosmetic and it's your appearance and it's your self-confidence and all that. And it's the red flag that there's something out of balance underneath.
Exactly. And it's funny because I also don't have it anywhere else, where some people may get it on their back or on their chest. Mm-hmm. I have it nowhere else.
The fact that, you know, we use all the information, right? So you did take antibiotics and it did get better. So it says to me that it is, you know, the sebaceous glands are overproducing oil, which is feeding a bacterial thing, which is causing you to get worse, and the antibiotics, there could be an infection somewhere else in your system, like in your gut, right? That's contributing to this. So this is all real good and useful information.
And the other thing to add to that, you know, in trying to be attentive to my skin as far as care, you know, over the years I've had several excellent estheticians, so I've had regular, you know, facials and you know, different treatments for just trying to improve my skin and using quality products and not gooping up with lots of cheap, you know, lotions and all of that. Yeah.
Right.
Like I feel, you know, they'll say, I've done everything and nothing works. Well, I'm sure I haven't done everything, but it feels like it.
But it feels like it. Yeah, sure it does. Absolutely, absolutely. So if you want to upload that test, if you don't mind doing that at some point, even before the end of the day, I would love that because I would love to take a quick look at that. And the 24-hour hormone. And it'd be useful for other people to see what's in there because you said, yeah, it was just a bunch of, you know, confusing stuff. But I want to actually look at ratios and that kind of thing. And if you can also look at the bottle, the cream, and look at how much estradiol is in there. And if it's just estradiol and progesterone in a coconut base or whatever, that's great. And then what's in the other cream, the vaginal vulva cream as well. Likely that has estriol. Because I just want to see those things in relationship to what showed up on your lab.
Okay.
Just to make sure, and, you know, not to second guess your doctor, I'm sure, or her nurse practitioner, I'm sure she knows what she's doing, but it's just a red flag for me, and I feel like I have this conscience, thing that I have to make sure that you're not, you know, that you're at least questioning if there's something that looks like it's amiss, and maybe she'll have a good explanation for it.
Exactly, and that's why I'm trying to be my own advocate here, mm-hmm. And again, I'm sure I'm not alone in being a, you know, just postmenopausal woman with some challenges and trying to make sense out of their hormone results. But I do have this hormone test, and I have it in front of me here actually. But yeah, it shows the estrone on the low end, estradiol on the low end, and then it has all those I think they're, you call them the methylations, where it's E1 plus E2, and then it's real complicated, but
it's complicated. Yeah, I'll see it. Just
you'll geek out on it.
I love it. I love it. Look, while we're going through the rest of this, go ahead and calculate. Add E1 plus E2, estrone and estradiol. Add that together, and then divide it by E3. No, take E3 estriol and divide it by the other two. So the sum of the other two, and that's what's called the estrogen quotient. You know, Meridian calculates it for you, but I don't think Genova does. So you have to take out your calculator. So it's E3 divided by E1 plus E2.
Okay.
Okay?
Yep.
All right. Fantastic. Thank you.
I didn't have to do that, but yep.
All right. So next we're going to look at, Why did this say negative habits? I missed it. This is habits. This is just habits. Negative habits is not regular juicing. I'm sorry. Got late as I was doing this. So, yeah. All right. So regular juicing, smoothies, many raw vegetables, soups, grass-fed meats, organic eggs, fruits. Okay. Superfoods, including hemp seeds, chia seeds. Okay. What currently habits? Currently negative. Occasionally I eat cheese and I love popcorn. So how often are you eating cheese and popcorn? You said a couple of times a week on the cheese, but what about the popcorn?
Oh, you know, maybe a couple times a month. So. Okay.
Yeah, so that's occasional. It's not like, you know, eating a bag of chips every week or whatever.
No.
Okay, but it could be a problem if there's some issues going on. And with the acne, the persistent acne, is it cyclical? Are you still cycling now, or have your period stopped?
I am not. I had an endometrial ablation in October of 15.
And what prompted that?
I had heavy menstrual bleeding that lasted to 10 days, and then they found polyps. Okay. And the nurse practitioner I was seeing at the time in Florida suggested, rather than have a D&C, because she says polyps tend to come back, they recommended the endometrial ablation. Okay. So
this is good information that was not in the original, right? It wasn't listed as a surgery or a procedure. So whenever we're looking for surgeries and procedures, maybe we need to be a little bit more clear with people. Because I said surgery, maybe you didn't even relate that to being a surgery. So surgeries are procedures.
Correct. And I did the earlier lengthy post that I put here. Right.
I see it. Right. I found it. Had gallbladder removed at 21 for gallstones. At age 50, 41, had DCIS of left breast, had lumpectomy and radiation, had early uterine cancer 2015. No surgery. Here itself with nutritionally with help of a wellness center. So you've had a lot. You have great habits, but you've had what, you know, what we get when by looking just at, oh, she has all these great habits. It's like, she must be one of these people with these weird ass genetics. but it's not. I mean, there's a lot of other stuff that's happened, and probably all your good habits have resulted from being frustrated with not.
They have. Yeah. Because I say now, if I knew now what I knew at, if I knew at age 41 what I know now, I would have never had the lumpectomy and the radiation, because I had DCIS at stage zero and I could have healed myself nutritionally.
Yes.
But
yes.
I'm letting go of that.
But you're letting go of that because that's a stress. So you're on the right track, and we're going to get you even more on the right track. So, you know, and again, given that you've told me that you've had these, basically a precancer and a early uterine cancer, says to me, you've got to let go of dairy 150%. Not 100%, 150%, okay? Because there's such a connection with galactose in dairy and uterine cancer. Okay. Probably nobody ever mentioned that to you.
No, but although when I was in the wellness center a year ago and going through this treatment for the uterine cancer, I completely quit. That's when I quit coffee, and I used to do a cup a day with the cream, and then that's when I quit, and I haven't had any reason to go back to that. So I haven't drank or needed or wanted to drink any cow's milk. But again, the cheese thing has been a bit of a weakness.
All right. So, but there's a solution to that. Have you had any of the Kite Hill or Treeline cheeses? Nut
cheeses? I have not.
Try them. They have one that's like brie. It's a little thing, and you just peel the pieces off, and they have a couple of others that are really, really good. They have one that's like cottage cheese, and there's, trust me, they're very good.
Yeah, the other one I'll do is feta cheese I put in my salads, but feta comes from
Doesn't matter. It's galactose. Galactose is milk sugar. It's in all of them. Okay. There's no difference. Okay. Nope. Yeah, dairy, gone. You have had cancer. You do not want it back. Okay. And even more so, I want to see those bloody 24-hour urine tests, because I didn't know about the cancer when I was looking at that, but it was a red flag. It's even a bigger red flag to me. Now it's a big red sign that's huge, that's looming in front of me, that I want to make sure that you're not doing anything that's going to promote those pathways. Okay.
I can email it to Lynn right now if that would be.
Please do. Email it to Lynn and she'll upload it for me.
Okay.
Okay.
Yes, ma'am. It's coming over right now.
All right, good. Yeah, that helps a lot. So a lot of clarifications. And when we're working with people, they forget to tell us stuff that we know is important, but they don't think is important. And suddenly light bulbs go on and you go, oh my God. Okay. So I'm going to put you on pause right now while you're doing that, so we don't hear your sounds. There you are. And then I'll open you up again when we need to ask you questions. All right. Just make sure that this recording actually took, because I don't see where it says it's recording, and just make sure. Yeah, it's recording. Good. All right. So this was where it was supposed to say negative habits. Sorry about the last one. We'll edit that. Negative habits, occasionally cheese. I love popcorn. Common allergens. She doesn't do any gluten, eggs. She just cheese once or twice a week, corn or peanuts, but she does do corn. Because she does popcorn a couple of times a month. So she does do corn. So she is on a couple of the common allergens. Okay. Eggs and dairy and no soy. Oh, she does do corn and peanuts. Okay. So I would say a complete elimination diet for a while and then go back and test it really, really carefully. Stress levels. 6 to 7 is actually lower than it used to be because now she's living in the mountains and it looks like you're living in Uray, which is one of the most beautiful places on the planet. Amazing, beautiful place. But she was in a densely populated beach town in the St. Petersburg area, which I actually love. And I don't know that there are a lot more, problematic places you can be than St. Pete because you're right on the beach, depending on where you live, but you have the option to go to the negative ions on the beach. But yeah, so stress levels are less than it used to be, but still very high, 6 to 7. So stress affects those pathways. It affects methylation pathways. It affects your immune system. It affects a lot. So let's look at what you're doing about that. So she's got great habits, right? She's got 5 times a week she's exercising, 5 times a week she's getting outdoors, she's getting out in the sun 4 times a week, and that might be a limitation of how often the sun is shining. Relaxation, meditation 2 times a week, but she's doing other relaxation. Type in the chat and let us know what else you have. Yeah, what else you're doing? What is it that you're doing for the relaxation? Is it reading? Is it laying out in the sun? Oh, I don't know what it is. Drinking greens 5 or more times a week because she's drinking juice. She's doing smoothies, eating vegetables, drinking alcohol 1 time a week. So here's another thing that, again, if she didn't have the history of cancer, if she didn't have a persistent problem that we're trying to solve, I may say, well, that might be fine. And it might be sometime down the road in someone who's not hasn't had a history of cancer. But if she said alcohol 2 times a year, you know, one's at Christmas and another time's when I go to a wedding, that's one thing, but 1 time a week is a lot. And alcohol is affects the liver, and the liver is where those estrogens get metabolized and get converted to the safer forms for elimination. And if there's a buildup, and we'll be able to see that when we see her thing. Plus, if there's issues with the genetics, right? So the nurse practitioner said to her, get the genetics so we can look at MTHFR and MTHFR, but there's others that I would want her to be looking at. One would be the cytochrome P450 things that are how well her liver detoxifies, and other things like MTRR and MTR, which have to do with B12. And then I'd want to look at her sulfur metabolism, and you'll see why when we go and do the other stuff. Okay, so it looks like Lynn just sent me your file. I'm going to finish this, and then we'll go, when we go to the labs, I'll open that one up. Caffeine 2 times a week. You said you don't drink coffee anymore, so what's the caffeine? Looks like you just sent it. You can open yourself up and let me know, or you can just type it in the chat, whichever way, except my mouse is like being picky, so it's easier if you just open up.
Yes, I drink green tea daily, actually. Okay. I don't drink any coffee or any other caffeinated drinks.
Okay. And green tea, I'm not concerned about as caffeine because there's so many other antioxidants in it, and it's a small amount, and there's been a lot of health benefits to green tea, so that's good. So always kind of clarifying is my thing. No soft drinks, no sugar, 1 time a week eating out. What do you eat when you eat out?
Well, the timing for you asking the question today is excellent because last night we were at a very nice restaurant in Telluride, and I actually had to have fresh grouper from the Gulf of Mexico. But I know that's one that's supposed to be high in mercury, but we still did have a grouper last night, which was excellent. And then, you know, salad and veggies and a fish chowder soup, which was excellent. But
okay. Do you ask ingredients when you eat out?
Yes, I did. I asked a particular side dish that came with the grouper had gluten and it did not. So, yeah, okay. I do always ask about gluten anyway. Eating the bread. It's hard when he sits there eating the bread and I'm not eating it.
Yeah, absolutely. I can imagine. But it's important, right? So also, you want to start asking about other things besides gluten in the food, right? So you want to ask what kind of oils they're using. Again, you know, occasionally having some kind of processed oil when you're out, you know, it's not going to be a big deal, but you have a history of having had cancer before. So you have to be ultra uber more sensitive and more careful to make sure that you're not getting processed oil. Like, you know, are they using olive oil? Are they using canola oil, right? Or are they using no oil? Are they using organic coconut oil, right? A lot of good things, like what kind of oil. You always have to ask about, you know, you ask about gluten, but you have to be really careful asking about gluten because sometimes they put flour as a thickener, but they don't consider that gluten.
Right.
Okay. So just being careful when you're out. Just, it's just for everybody. And then coaching our clients about that same kind of thing. No fast food, that's great. No tap water, purified water, and sleeping. So you've got a lot of great habits here, yet you still have the acne. So I'm trying to be picky. I'm going to be picky with you, okay? Because I want you to get better.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Okay. And I did put in the chat earlier, you asked about relaxation. Qigong and yoga I do regularly.
Yeah.
And when I drink, it's only, well, it's red wine. But yeah. You know, I'd cut it
till you get this under control because of the effect on the liver.
Okay.
So now we have some tests. I'm going to look at the NutriVal, but before we do that, Lynn just Skyped me your other tests. So your 24-hour urine. Let me see if I can shrink this down and share this screen as we go through it. I'm going to open it up. Okay, so type, what's the word that I want you to do? Mute yourself because I'm hearing you type. And
okay. Yes, thank you.
Yeah, absolutely. No problem. Let me download this to my computer first because it's really hard for me to, the way that it presents on Dropbox is not real cool. Actually, this might be the way. No. Was this a Dropbox link that you gave me, Lynn? Or was it? No, it's the actual PDF. Okay, so this is in yours. Never mind. Okay. There, that's what I want. So let me share that. Let me get to the right page of this. I'm not going to go through this whole thing because that could take an hour on its own. But I'm going to share this now. I'm going to say change share. So I'm going to stop the share. And then I'm going to share again. And I'm going to share this. All right. So you should see the screen share switch. Okay, good. That's what I was trying for. And this is the test. This is it's different. I don't usually run the Genova, so I'm going to just kind of fumble my way through the places where everything is. I usually run the Meridian, so it's just a different, it's pretty. It's very nice. So what we're looking at is her estrogen metabolism here. And this is the stuff I was concerned about. Let me see. That's your key. Is this yours? Okay, so it looks like you have a low 2:16 ratio, which, you know, it's still in the normal range, but your 2:16, 2 is the protective 16, is one of the problematic ones. And you are methylating well, according to this. Okay, that's okay. So I want to actually look at your numbers. Let's see. Your progesterone's low, which is why she puts you on the progesterone. That's this one, pregnenolone. You can't actually measure progesterone in the urine. It's too short-lived. So you measure a metabolite. Your DHEA is low. Your keto. Okay, I'm just looking. And testosterone's low. So DHEA and testosterone are low. With acne, I wanted to see if it was a testosterone-related acne because that can happen. Androgens can cause acne. It's more likely to be in a trial. Your cortisol levels don't look bad. Okay, so here's what I wanted to look at. So
Dr. Rita Mayer, if I could interject real quick, it's Karen. I did go ahead and do that math real quick, and that ratio was 1.137.
Okay, good. Good. So you're actually, that's a good ratio. So, yeah.
Okay.
So you probably have enough iodine, and that pathway's working really well. So your ratios are good between them, but my concern with giving you just estradiol, it's going to throw that ratio off. So see how estradiol's here, E2, and I asked you to do E3 divided by E1 plus E2. Right now it's looking good and it's favoring the E3. But what will happen if you just do estradiol, that can throw that off, which would throw you into not a very good state. So,
okay. those creams should contain all three of the estrogens?
Usually two, estradiol and estriol. We don't need the estrone because it can be converted.
Okay.
So, yeah, you always want to make sure that you're giving, and usually it's 80-20. Usually we do our 75-25 where the estriol is dominant because the estriol is the protective one. It doesn't matter if you have a little bit too much estriol in relationship to the others, but it does matter if you have too much of the others in relationship to the estriol. So you're at the one point, a little bit over one. We want it to be one is the minimum cutoff, so you could easily be adding estriol. So I would look at your creams and find out how much of each of those you're getting.
Thank you.
Yeah. So if there's, it might be that she put estradiol in the one cream that you put on your body and she put the estriol in the other cream. The one thing, this is just me, I just have a hard time with, you're a thin person, so you probably, it's okay. Putting hormone creams on the inner thighs where we mostly have fat, I don't know about you, but that's where a lot of my fat's accumulated. And what happens then is that a lot of the hormones accumulate in the fat and they don't get into circulation. So I've always been taught to put it on the thin areas of your body, the ones that have the vasculature close to the surface. So I always recommend wrists, inner arms, back of the knee, top of the feet, even the neck or the upper chest, the bony part of the chest. That's the way I've been taught and the way I've always practiced.
Okay, I will change to that. Thank you.
Okay, so your 4-hydroxy is low, which is good. That's the most carcinogenic one. Yours is less than 5.9, so that's good. Your 16 is a little higher in relationship to the two than I would like. And the one thing that can help that would be brassicas, more of the brassicas. A lot of times we do DIM, D-I-M, diindolmethane or I-3C, indole-3-carbinol for that, but you can do it with brassicas. You can get broccoli sprout powders, an amazing one to just add to your smoothies since you're doing them already, just to really fortify up the amount of that sulforaphane you're getting. Metabolic clearance. Yeah. Okay. So no red flags here as far as I can tell, but I would be asking about this main thing is to make sure that you're getting more estriol than you are estradiol. Worst case is 50-50. That's the lowest ratio I ever recommend supplementing unless it's a completely, weird situation. Okay, so check that out. Ask your nurse practitioner, am I getting a balance? Am I getting the right balance of estriol and estradiol? And estriol should be more than estradiol.
Thank you. I was going to ask. I wanted to clarify that. So
estriol should be more. The minimum is 50-50, okay. But usually, especially if somebody with a history of cancer, I'm going to be recommending more like 75 to 80% estriol.
Okay.
Okay?
Yep.
Right. Okay. So I'm going to stop that share, and then I'm going to go back to the other share.
And it's quite an interesting test though, isn't it? How complex that is.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. Yeah, I've been doing those for years, and the first time I saw it, I thought I was going to like, oh my God, this is so crazy. Yeah, but after a while, and we do a lot of those on NEPT calls, and we'll be doing a lot more when we get to our reproductive module. Okay, so these are yours, and so this is the NutriVal, which is an amazing test. You're all going to want to run out and get these tests done because it gives you so much great information about the nutritional status. And this is not just testing the blood to see what the levels of those hormones are, of those nutrients are. It's testing them in the compartments that they are best suited to be tested for. So you might be looking like vitamin A and E are probably blood. D would be blood if they gave it. But the B vitamins they're looking at and the magnesium and all that, they're looking at red blood cell or white blood cell. They're looking inside the structure. And some of the things that are done on here are urine. So what we're looking at is the overview. These are the nutrients from the vitamins and minerals that are found to be out of balance for her. So she clearly has her major imbalance is B vitamins. So the reason that the nurse practitioner suggested getting the MTHFR is to see what the, to get 23andMe is to see why is her B so low. But you weren't supplementing with B, were you, before this? Were you doing B vitamins before this test was run?
I was not.
Okay. So you always want to look at root cause in addition, like, okay, what can you do to up these levels of these things in your diet? But it's also an absorption issue as well. And it's an increased need issue. Sometimes people need more of them. So for example, B1 and B2 are really important in the Krebs cycle. And if your body's doing a lot of healing, if you're doing a lot of activity, you're going to need more of those in order to make more energy. B1 is real important for the integrity of the gut lining. If you remember in our protocol for healing leaky gut, we have people do vitamin B1 at pretty high doses, like 150 three times a day, in order to heal that. So to get it metabolically active. And then folate and B12 are very common to be deficient because of the commonness, if that's a word, of the MTHFR SNP. About 45% of the population has one or both of those SNPs. So those are common. And then she's got some minerals and some other B vitamins. And then the ones in the green are the ones that are fine. So this is just a summary. I'm just going to go through that quickly, and I'm just going to show you some of the other places. So one of the approaches to doing this test is, yeah, supplement with the things that are low because you'll get those built up pretty quickly. But you also want to be looking at why. Like if you're under a lot of stress, you're going to use a lot of B vitamins. So clearly your meditation and yoga and Qigong and all that is going to help you with that. But you want to provide the extra Bs in the meantime to give your body the energy to heal. This is what they put together as a suggested supplement schedule. And the reason this looks the way it is, it has things that she's green in as well, is that they have this, the ability to order a canned supplement. So they can actually put together a customized supplement. So they have some baseline amounts that are in this multi for everybody. And then they add extras for the ones that you're low in. So you can see that on here. So even though biotin was normal, they still are putting 100 micrograms in there because it's a kind of a generic formula. Doesn't mean you have to go out and supplement these amounts, but the ones that are red and the ones that are yellow, you certainly do want to be adding those extras to the diet. And this is also based on the amino acids and other things. The vitamin D they put in there, 600 IUs is nothing in comparison to vitamin D. And they don't test it here for whatever reason. So that's something you should be getting through a regular serum test. So let's just go through a little bit. They give you a really nice layout here. So they're saying basically, and you can read about this and learn a lot about your vitamins by running this test, but the A and the E are fine. So the fat solubles are fine, which is quite interesting given that you said you had your gallbladder removed, but your fat soluble vitamins are good, which we would expect to not be good. And your water solubles aren't, except alpha-lipoic acid. And alpha-lipoic acid is very important for the Krebs cycle. And we're going to see that that's going to be important for healing. And so if the acne is coming up, we want to make sure that whatever is going on there, whatever's causing it, whether it is the hormonal imbalance, which, I don't know, it just doesn't seem like it based on the levels of your hormones because they're all so low and the ratios aren't that far off. But I think it might be something, you know, related to gut or imbalances in those. So vitamin C is, needs to be added. This chart, you know, you may have better idea of numbers you want. Vitamin C, 500 milligrams, especially with all your stress, I'd probably recommend 100 milligrams three times a day to keep up with that, or at least, you know, I mean, not 100, 1,000 milligrams three times a day, or 100 and, or 1,500, twice a day. So that's that. And I'm just going to show you real quick some of these others. So her CoQ10 is fine. Her plant-based antioxidants are fine. Probably all that juicing in the smoothies she's doing, but glutathione's low. Now the glutathione low could be related to a SNP in her genetics because there's a whole bunch of sulfur metabolism pathways that we're going to look at. But SNP, glutathione is super important. My favorite way to supplement glutathione is with a cream. OxyCell by Apex Energetics, and there are others, but a cream tends to get in, or a liposomal glutathione. Some people do glutathione pushes where they actually go in and get an IV push. Expensive to do it that way.
Yeah, I just had that done when I was back in Florida last month. I went back to my wellness center for maintenance and had a nutrient. It was a cocktail of nutrients.
Yeah.
Test, and then they did a glutathione push after.
Great.
So that was a month ago.
Was that after, this was after you had this test done, so you knew what you needed?
Yes.
Yeah, perfect. Yeah. So, yes, that's great. Then that was probably a Myers cocktail with vitamin C and glutathione, which is a common one.
Yeah, but they did kind of customize it based on
this. Test. Perfect.
Right.
Excellent.
But it doesn't stay with the body though, right?
It'll get metabolized and it gets oxidized, sure. reduced, et cetera. So, it's a matter of keeping it up, and you may have a SNP that just doesn't allow that to really be efficiently metabolized. And that's a good reason to do it, the 23andMe as well, but taking it on an oral basis, at least for now, and then looking at what foods promote glutathione production.
Yeah. Speaking of the 23andMe, I did just send in my saliva last week.
Great. You'll have that soon. Cool. Yeah. So then there's the bees, right? And it gives you more. But her thiamine and her riboflavin, which are Krebs cycles, and we're going to see her Krebs cycle in a minute. They're the pits. So energy is really hard to do energy production, and which means that the cells are going to have a hard time healing. And it's really important to keep those up. So I would be making sure that you're doing a good B vitamin supplementation. B6 is so important for neurotransmitter function and hormone function. So some of those hormone imbalances could be B6, and you also have magnesium, which is important there as well. So these are important ones to be making sure that you get. I'm a big fan of liquid for the most part. For B1, I often use a form called benfotiamine. It comes in 150. It's been shown to be a highly easily metabolized. For riboflavin, I usually use riboflavin 5-phosphate. So you want to get a supplement that has the activated forms. Pyridoxine, B6, I get a pyridoxal 5-phosphate. And then biotin looks fine. Okay. So let's, can you guys just put yourself on mute so that I know you're typing and taking notes and all. So I just want to make sure we get a clean recording. So niacin's in the middle ground. She's not quite as off, but niacin's also super important for the Krebs cycle. So it's important for energy. And it's probably they've all gotten zonked from being under stress for so long. So that's a biggie. Now with folic acid and B12, you've got to be super careful about how you supplement these. So, folic acid should always be activated, never folic acid, synthetic folic acid. It really disrupts the cycles, and we don't have time to go into all the details on why, but avoid folic acid in the supplements. You want an L-methyl tetrahydrofolic acid, which is the methylated form.
That's
what you're taking.
Yeah.
you got to be careful. Like, I always am real careful about supplementing with the methylateds and going very slowly and increasing. So I usually use liquid liposomal versions. That way you can just go really slowly, because if you don't have the 23andMe back, you don't know if you have some of those SNPs that would make it, make you get more anxious if you take too much of the methyl groups. And given your history with breast cancer, the COMT, catecholaminomethyltransferase, is a very common SNP. And it has to do with the metabolism of estrogen. So I'd want to rule out that you have that before like going into massive doses of these. But if you've taken 1,000 micrograms of these and you didn't get a problem, you didn't find yourself anxious, irritable, then fine. But if you did and you go like, why am I feeling so anxious and irritable? Then what you want to do is start with a very small amount of the methylateds and build your levels up to tolerance.
Okay.
I take a sip of water. So, you know, minerals in general are low, and low, like multiple minerals, but they're not extreme low. They're minorly low. That goes back to, what about stomach acid? How's her stomach acid doing, right? Because you need to have good stomach acid in order to digest your minerals real well. So that would be me looking at going back through our procedures in the program. And what do we have to do to evaluate and optimize? Zinc is important for making HCl. And HCl is important for absorbing zinc. So you get into this vicious cycle, and oftentimes you have to do both or do the bitters. So I would go back and review that piece of the module and get that up to speed, because if there's malabsorption happening, you got to start with the stomach. Of course, you have to start with the head. I always point that out, right? Get yourself out of sympathetic mode and into the mode of parasympathetic, of calm, before you eat, or nothing's going to be absorbed real well, because you're doing a great job with your food, with the few exceptions that we talked about, that you're going to clean up, right? I believe that you're going to clean up.
Yes,
I know, because this is important, right? The need for fatty acids, we'll look at that in more detail on the fatty acid test piece. I'm not sure how they calculate the need for probiotics, other than possibly from the page that has the bacterial and yeast kind of things, and we'll get to that in a moment. And the same thing with the pancreatic enzymes, and it's saying a high need for pancreatic enzymes, probably because of all the malabsorption, but I don't know for sure if that's how they calculate that. Okay, so here's the Krebs cycle. Yay, this must look like a whole bunch of gobbledygook and like, ah! But just let me point out a few things. I put a few arrows in there. So if we look at these pathways, we want them all to be kind of in the green or in a similar place. If we look here at where acetyl-CoA, we're low in butyric acid and a methyl glutaric acid. The butyric acid, butyrate, super important for the gut and for feeding the good bacteria in the gut, so you get the right flora balance. And that's probably where they got the need for probiotics, right? But also butyric acid can be a possibility as well. So you can look up butyrate supplementation. Butter is a good source of it, but given, I wouldn't do dairy in your particular case, but you can get butyrate from other sources, and also you can do a supplement of butyrate. But we look down here, we're going to look around the citric acid cycle. Whenever you're looking at metabolic pathways on lab tests, these tests are functional tests. They're not measuring the amount of these substances. They're measuring the amount of your vitamins and minerals. They're measuring pathways. And so when I look here, I look like citric acid, it looks good, but cis-aconic acid is low. So we want to look at, what is it the body needs to convert citric acid to the cis-aconitate? And look there, glutathione transferase. So it's related to glutathione, and she's low in glutathione. It's also related to iron. So we don't know what her iron status is, but that makes us want to look and see what's the iron status. So that's one thing I would look at. And then when we come around here, we look at succinic acid is super low. So glutaric acid is fine, and there it's a direct precursor. So we want to look at, well, why? Well, the importance is these coenzyme forms of niacin and riboflavin, NADH and FADH too. So we look at that and go, oh, well, she's low in those particulars. So that's why the succinic acid is low. So supplementing with that is going to help this Krebs cycle move a lot faster. But also if there's a buildup of mercury, lead, and arsenic. And you can see that in the little red circle. And that's a problem as well. So we want to look on a heavy metal test. And were you the one that said at one point you had it? No, you didn't say you had it. That was the previous case. Anyway, but these are the things you're looking at to say, okay, not like, oh, they're low in this particular thing. Let's supplement with it. Why are they low in that particular supplement or substance? What are the precursors and what are the interfering factors for that? So that's Krebs cycle. This is what we call the organic acid test. So this, I love this Nutrival because it covers, gives you a fatty acid test, it gives you the organic acid test, it gives you the amino acid test, and it gives you all the vitamins and minerals as well. We're just going to do a quick look at this, and this is the one that's most related to digestion. Malabsorption markers, she's got malabsorption markers, okay? These are particular substances that build up in the system, indoles and phenylacetic acid, that will actually, you know, build up when you're not digesting it properly. So that's definitely a marker of malabsorption. And then bacterial dysbiosis. Well, dysbiosis is bad life, right? And we talked a lot about that in that module in CMDS and what all the kinds of things that could cause it and all that. Well, there's bacterial markers, and she's got two of them are in the red and one's in the yellow that indicate that there's some bacterial overgrowth in the system. Okay, so there's bacterial overgrowth that could be contributing to the acne, and maybe when she took the antibiotics, it got rid of some of that and it caused the acne to go away. But as soon as she stopped, she ended up with probably a buildup of yeast, which if you look at the yeast markers, those are high as well, right? So the antibiotics did a good thing in getting rid of the bacteria, but they caused an overgrowth of yeast. So right now she's got both. So she really needs to be addressing both to get it back. And you've got your processes if you go back into the module. The other thing is you can just use what you learned to address this and then do it for a few months, rotating antimicrobials so that you don't get resistance like we talked about in the module. But also, if it's not better within 3 months, then you might want to do a stool test to identify the organisms and see what specific things. Important to rotate, though, because a lot of people will say, I'm just going to take some berberine and oregano because those are really easy to get and they're popular. And when they take the berberine and oregano and they take it for 3 months straight, the organisms get resistant to it. And I see this all the time when I look at the stool tests. And on some of the calls, in fact, one we did the other day, we saw that people had the stool, those markers that were resistant, right? So yeah, that's what's going on with that. I think on our last call, our last case study call, we did a bunch of those. And one of the bonuses that you're getting as part of this program is you're going to get access to our gut assessment stuff, which is just a bunch of case studies of us going through these things. So hopefully should be getting that soon. I still have to review the video and make sure that you've got it all, but you should be getting that bonus real soon. All right, so cellular energy, that's, again, review of the mitochondria, right? We looked at the chart, and you could see that your body's just not making enough energy on a cellular level, and you want to increase that. Creatinine, that just looks to see the concentration. Let's see. Okay, so then we have the neurotransmitter metabolites. And for the most part, they look okay. The ones that I'm most concerned about, which are toxic, are the quinolinic acid and the chirinic acid. Those are fine. So it looks like you're fairly balanced over there. The indole acetic acid, I think, is related to the gut dysbiosis. So that one will clear up, but that will affect neurotransmitters, so could make you feel more anxious or more just not quite there. The vitamin markers, they're very low, okay? So a lot of them are very low, and that's where they're coming up with the ones that are related to various and sundry imbalances, and summarized on that summary sheet. But detoxification markers, so there's a problem with a little bit of it from styrene. So you'd want to make sure that you're probably careful about that anyway, but a lot of times, you know, you might be out and get a cup of tea or whatever and a styrofoam cup. Be careful about that because your body's not handling it real well. And that might be a genetic thing, which you'll be able to see when you get your genetic markers back. And then tyrosine metabolism. So there's problems with tyrosine metabolism being a little bit low, and tyrosine's related to both thyroid and adrenal. Tyrosine's a direct precursor to acetylcholine. That's the calm one. It's norepinephrine and epinephrine. So if you've been under a lot of stress, you've been straining your tyrosine pathways. Tyrosine is also a building block for thyroid hormone. And so that's one of the reasons that being under stress can deplete the thyroid. There's a number of others. So, you know, all the things you're doing for the stress, you know, heart math might be a good one to incorporate throughout the day, because yoga and qigong are all great, but you're doing them at one point in time, and you want to retrain your body from going into those pathways. So I'm just going to pause there and see if any questions have been coming in, because I know I've been talking like really fast. And let's see. Let's see. April said, I was told by a physician that putting progesterone cream on the labia was okay. It becomes risky using it intravaginally, as intercourse would become a problem. Either way, April, labia or intravaginally. So you want to make sure that you're not applying them within a time period where you're going to have sex. So if you're going to be, you know, if you know you generally will have intercourse at night, then you apply your creams in the daytime. But as long as it's been 8 hours between, I don't think there's a risk of that, but yeah. And it's the same thing. Even if it's on the labia, it's still a problem. It's still a problem. It can be a problem. And it, you know, it depends. I remember working with a guy, and he came in and he did his hormone tests, and his progesterone was through the roof. And we discovered that it was his partner who was applying progesterone. And yeah, he was applying the progesterone. And he was getting it. Let me see. Yeah, and the other thing is, if you have children, right, if you're applying your progesterone cream and you don't wash your hands thoroughly after that, and then you change your baby's diaper, you can be passing that on. So you do have to be careful with creams, with hormone creams. Let me see. Okay, so I'm gonna increase the size of my chat window. I'm gonna ask you guys not to put anything in the chat for a minute or two, because I can't see them when they fly by. So give me a second. Karen says acne is sometimes inflammatory. Acne is almost always inflammatory. So it's really important that we get inflammation under control, right? And that's where the fats are gonna come into place when we get there in a minute. Okay. I don't know what to do here, because this is, let me see if I can find it. I wish my mouse was working better. There we go. All right. All right. I'm just looking to see. Okay. Trying to get back to where we were. So Claudia wants to verify E3 divided by E1 plus E2 is called the estrogen quotient. And if you look that up, you'll see that it's been around for a long time. Claudia said nut cheeses have binders that I don't do well with. Depends on which ones. These don't have binders necessarily, and you can make nut cheeses on your own. We have a whole, if you go onto my website and look up video classes, we have a class on how to make your own nut cheeses. Okay. Janine says, do you think there's an easy answer to balancing estrogen when you have liver problems? No, well, that, you know, you got to really deal with the liver problems, because it's hard to get estrogen under control. There are herbs that help support, like Don Quai. The reason it's so good for female hormones is because it works on the liver. Yeah, and April said dairy could be a factor. We already talked about that. Totally. Yeah, so there are some that are made, like the question about intravaginal estrogen cream. You know, there's what we talked about before with partners and sex and all, but there's also specific, you'd have to make sure it was formulated to be able to go there. So if you go like to Bezwecken, they have something called Ostoderm and Ostoderm V. And Ostoderm V is formulated to go vaginally. Yeah, and Lynn's pointing out that dairy increases levels of insulin-like growth factor, and that's a potent stimulus for cancer growth. Yeah, and they found that the galactose actually does increase the risk of uterine cancer. Somebody just added a question, and I lost my place. Okay, I'm going to try a little bit harder to, yeah. How do we know if, Dorothy's great question, how do we know if folic acid is synthetic or folate? It'll say on the label, but if it doesn't say, then if it just says folate on the label, I'd not trust it. I would call the company and ask. If it says 5-methyl tetrahydrofolic acid, then that's okay. Or if it says folinic acid. But if it just says folic acid, especially if it's in a cheap supplement, and if it has cyanocobalamin, it's probably folic acid. Want to avoid cyanocobalamin, which is, the cheap form and the inactive form of B12. June says 1200 folic acid or folate sounds high. It could be, but it could be, actually I've had people go up to like 5 and even 10. It just depends. Tamara, when you get a test like NutriVal done, do you want to go off all your supplements to see if you actually have deficiency and dive into the root cause? It's a good idea. It just depends. Like if we do this the first time, yes, but the second or third time, you may want to be seeing if what you're doing is working, or the second time, and then going off of it and seeing if you're able to maintain it after that. So Lynn talks about why milk causes, you can read that. Bulletproof glutathione's great. Yeah, the bulletproof is a liposomal glutathione. This test you can get done through Genova Diagnostics. I believe that if you go to directlabs.com, you can get it. Any functional medicine practitioner can. And I don't think you're right. I think you're right, Lynn. We don't have this on the test. And the main thing is it's extremely expensive. Extremely expensive, like, you know, $700-$800. So, that's why I don't do it all that often for people, because most people don't want to pay it. But we can certainly put, if people are interested in ordering this test, if you can't get it through Direct Labs, I think you can, then, you can certainly get it. And in our, well, go through, I don't know if I mentioned this particular test. I think if this is in NEPT where I have it on our list to see where we can order it from.
Just as an aside, my functional medicine nurse practitioner ordered it, and it did go through my insurance, and I just had to pay a copay, I think, of either $150 or $180. Great. So it depends on your insurance.
Yes, and yeah, the, Genova's real good about that too. They know which insurances are going to cover and which aren't. So if you do have health insurance, have your practitioner before they order it, you know, or you just call them up to get it straight from the horse's mouth. Is just call them up and say, hey, I have this particular insurance. Will you cover it? If it's one they cover, they'll say, yep, you just have to pay this much copay. And Medicare does pay it for a lot of folks. It depends, you know, on the state, I think, but I've had people on Medicare get it covered as well. Yeah. Okay. Ah. It just went flying past. I'm looking to see if there's any others. There was a discussion about the liposomal. Yeah, so liposomal, Bulletproof is a liposomal. And what you can do is you can order it from Seeking Health. You can order it from Live On Labs. You can order it from Bulletproof. Susan said, I'd love a course on how to optimize absorption for people with gastric bypass. Can't take HCL, minerals completely bypassed the stomach, but probiotics are easy to get into the intestines, constantly needing iron infusions, and so many gastric. Yeah, and a lot of it is being able to take ionic minerals, liquid minerals, pre-digested stuff, And food-wise, you're so limited if you really want to optimize for gastric bypass because you're skipping your whole bloody digestive tract. There's no exposure to pancreatic enzymes in the duodenum because you're going straight from a little bit of stomach all the way down to the jejunum. So yeah, we should probably do some sort of, it wouldn't be a full class, but a couple of hour presentation. Patty said she had SpectraCell and the company did that. Brenda says, what about using DHEA topically? I've seen it work well. I think topical DHEA is a great thing to apply vulva and vaginally for dryness, vaginal dryness. I would say I mostly do the sublingual DHEA, very small doses, and build it up because a lot of people take too much of it and it can throw things off. And it can increase the level of DHT, which is a problematic testosterone. David Wolf says that a man can apply progesterone twice a month and it will convert to testosterone in those small amounts. You know, it depends. Like, David, I respect David and all, but his detailed biochemical science sometimes is a little bit off. It depends. You can't just say that. Progesterone is one of the precursors, right? So it's up there with pregnenolone. I think I'd rather give pregnenolone than progesterone for a man, but that's a specific that I just am more geared towards. But progesterone would have to then be converted. It's easier to convert pregnenolone down to estrogen than it is to progesterone. So I would not want him to go that direction. If the progesterone then gets converted to estrogen, then the male man can have feminization. There's so much involved. There's aromatase and dihydrotestosterone there's another enzyme. There's just so much involved with this that it could be very helpful. It could be better than giving testosterone. But the thing is here, progesterone, pregnenolone, and DHEA are available over the counter. You can buy them without a prescription. Testosterone and estrogen, well, testosterone is the only one that's actually only available by prescription. There's pine pollen extract, which is said to have a little bit of testosterone and DHEA and can be converted. But here's the deal. If you're trying to get balance, you test and then you try and then you test again. It can be different from person to person. But if you're trying to promote testosterone, I'd be more likely to be giving pregnenolone and DHEA to go there than progesterone. But if he's saying that the male can safely do it, it's probably fine. Just depends. Oh, cool. Bezwecken has little cubes of cocoa butter with DHEA. I love it. If you're going to do it topically, do it at the thin-skinned area, but do it on the vulva as well if there's any indication of vaginal dryness. Jolva is Dr. Anna Kabeka's thing. She used to have these little tablets of DHEA that you can insert intravaginally, and they were amazing. Except that her company had to stop making them because the FDA said when you do that, it becomes a drug and you can't do it over the counter. So you can do a cream, and she calls hers a cosmetic to make a pretty vulva. Like, okay, but it actually is a very nice cream and formulation. Oh, I love that. DHEA cubes. Very cool. All right. So I'm going to move on. Boy, that generated a lot, right? What do we have here? Amino acids. So we're looking down, and what I'm looking at, the first thing I'm looking at when I look at the amino acids is their malabsorption. Now, there are a lot of amino acids that are low. And what I'm seeing here is histidine is low, and that could indicate that she maybe is having a histamine reaction and using it up. Valine is low. That's one of the branch chains. Taurine is on the verge of low. It's right on the edge. Alanine, what else? Cysteine is a little high. So this is, remember I said earlier, I'm wanting you to see your 23andMe, not just for MTHFR, but also for the sulfation pathways. When cysteine is high, it could be there's a block and it's not being converted to glutathione because your glutathione was low. So my guess is there might be a SNP in one of those pathways or a missing nutrient. That's a cofactor. Glutamic acid is a little bit high, which is an excitatory neurotransmitter. When glutamic acid is a little high, it's usually because the body is not making enough GABA from it. There's an enzyme called glutamic acid decarboxylate that converts glutamic acid to GABA. So this would be contributing if to your, you know, your high stress levels, right? You have this tendency, and there are some SNPs, GAD, glutamic acid decarboxylates. There's about 6 or 7 or 8 of them that are reported on the 23andMe. And tyrosine's low. So we talked about tyrosine before, and that has to do with probably being used up as a part of the stress situation, but that can affect the thyroid. We have some of the B vitamin markers. We've already looked at the Bs. These are what they're using to determine your Bs. And then we don't have time to go into all the details about, you know, why and what and wherefore. We have more about this in an EPT. Low ammonia, I'm not concerned about. It's high ammonia that I'm concerned about because that it can affect the energy metabolism and cause brain fog. Sarcosine is oftentimes related to putrefaction in the gut. So that's another indication that there is some malabsorption. You probably need a bunch of probiotics. Enzymes are going to be helpful. And there may be a dysbiotic organism that needs to be identified. But going through the protocols and doing some of the general stuff before you do that would be great. Now, if your insurance company covered this test, it might actually cover the Genova GI effects, in which case you can find out more specifically what organisms are happening in there. Okay. Fats. I love this. I usually run the blood spot fatty acid test, which is a short version of this, but this is great because it's a bigger version of it. The fats are actually not all that bad. We look at this in terms of the omega-3s and 6s, which are your essentials, and then the omega-9s and some of the others. So if we look at the omega-3s and 6s, we want to have a specific ratio. My concern here is that your omega-3 linoleic, omega-6 linoleic, and gamma-linoleic. Gamma-linoleic is a little high, which is unusual. Usually we see that low. The DIHOMO is low. The arachidonic is low. The DOCASO, it's this other ICASO. And we'll look at the pathway to see if there's a particular nutrient out of balance in here. There is a chart, I think we give it to you in one of the modules, is getting the fatty acids in balance. And we have a spreadsheet where you can actually put the foods in and see what your food ratios are. But your AAEPA ratio is actually not bad. It's quite good. Your omega-6 to 3 ratio is okay. The omega-3 index is what's off. And I don't remember how they calculate the omega-3 index. I meant to look that up last night and I didn't have a chance to. We've got some of the saturated fats. Yeah, so there's some of the stuff's related to gut and could be related to the acne because it's really important. Inflammatory pathways are driven by fats, and you want to make sure you get your fats under control. If we look at this, so if we look at linoleic, that's the short chain omega-3, alpha-linolenic, it gets converted by delta-6 desaturase. And what happens, a lot of folks, they start dumping a lot of fish oils on the problem to try to get their levels up. But the problem is that the delta-6 desaturase enzyme is not sufficiently supported. So we look at what are the cofactors. Da-da-da, guess what? All of the B vitamins that she's low in. FAD, which is B2, niacin, B3, and B6, also vitamin C, which she was marginally low on. She was middle. And then zinc and magnesium. So, and insulin. We don't know if she has, you know, problems with too much insulin or not, but I don't have enough information to know that. But the B vitamins are causing her, no matter how much flax seeds and chia seeds and walnuts she eats, they're not going to be as efficiently converted to the EPA DHA. And I forget whether you're taking an EPA DHA or if you're taking a fish oil type supplement. Then there's delta-5 desaturates. Are you taking a supplement?
I'm sorry. Yes, I'm taking krill for the omega-3.
Yeah. So your EPA is pretty good. Your DHA is pretty good. And that's why. right? But you're not actually converting real well your own into that. It's because you're taking it that you have good levels of it. And let's see, linoleic, gamma linoleic. I'm not seeing this omega-6 as being such a big problem. I think just keep taking your oils. That's probably these pathways are probably not the whole answer to what's going on with your skin. I just don't see enough of it, enough of an imbalance here to really think that it's contributing. I've seen some really bad ones.
Okay.
Oxidative stress markers. The main one that's out is glutathione, and we already talked about that. I can't wait to see your 23andMe, by the way, so we can see if you've got some of those pathways out of balance. Low copper, which, you know, these are looking at, urine markers of these. So the urine markers are not as accurate as some of the functional markers, but this shows low copper and everything else normal, whereas when we did the NutriVal, the more detailed one, where we're looking at the blood cells, they showed that the manganese and magnesium and zinc were low, right? So when people just do these urine tests, I look at them for heavy metals, but I don't really take so much stock for them for the essentials. Lead is low. Mercury is high. Lead is okay. Mercury is high. So I'd be careful about eating fish. I'd be careful about eating any kind of fish that, you know, can have high levels of mercury. Chelating agents that can be helpful. You've got mercury and cadmium that are high, that are gentle, that can help soothe the gut as well. Zeolite or modified citrus pectin are two really good, and they're good detox kind of powders that you can drink on an empty stomach to chelate out some of these heavy metals. Okay, so what are our next steps? I'm going to look back because I think that Lynn actually put up another test of yours. I'm going to look at that real quick, and then I'm going to, we'll take a break. I'm just going to take a quick look. Your RDW is high, so you are anemic. We have to figure out why you're anemic. RDW high is a sign of imbalance between the sizes of the blood cells. You guys aren't seeing this. I just don't want to take the time to move it, but let's just want to see if there's anything worthwhile to move it for. Glucose fine. Bun is a little on the low side, BUN, malabsorption. Creatinine's decent. Sodium chloride. Protein's okay. Albumin's okay. Globulin's okay. Alkaline phosphatase is low. That's another indication of zinc issues. And zinc's super important for those female hormones. So I would be doing some zinc supplementation. I'd be doing like a multi-mineral maybe for the others. This doesn't show ferritin or iron. It's shocking to me how few doctors run iron and ferritin, but they're so important. And they were important for some of those Krebs cycle pathways. So zinc is the thing that's really reinforcing the zinc issue there. Okay, so let me look up and then we'll take a break. Let me go through the final. Okay, there. Yeah, so let's go through the final. What we want. Wait. There we go. So your next steps, you know, we talked about that. I asked you about the history, how long it's been going on, et cetera. Reviewing any other body systems, like are there any other contributing factors? Going through and doing your CMDS assessments and mapping them on those charts that I gave you. Looking at your diet, we already talked a lot about your diet, and the main things we came up with was the dairy and the, what else was it? No, you weren't doing coffee. It was mainly the dairy and what was the other piece? Corn. Support stomach acid. I think that's a biggie for you to try to get the absorption going and read through that in the CMDS. Like I'm not a big fan of just supplementing HCL unless it's needed, but you can do an HCL challenge or you could do bitters and zinc. I think zinc is going to be the biggest piece here. You know, so some bitters and zinc is going to be really important. Supporting the flora, getting a good flora in there. You might consider adding butyric acid, address your dysbiosis. And we have a lot of information in the modules about doing a cleanse, a candida parasite cleanse, adding to that some of the bacterial antimicrobials, but rotating them. And then in 3 months, if it's not really significantly better, then I would do a stool test. If you want to do a stool test sooner, by all means. And then you want to address any areas that show up. So in summary, these are the things that show up. The major ones are those B vitamins, activated forms of your B vitamins, getting some good minerals in there, and vitamin C, doing your assessments and mapping it out on this chart, and then figuring out the best places and the order in which to go in on that chart. So any testing to follow up, I definitely get a vitamin D test to see if what you're taking is enough. And if not, up that, because you can't heal your gut without getting your vitamin D testing. Stool testing if you don't respond to the cleanse. I said that. Now, I didn't know you had the 24-hour urine when I wrote this, the Dutch test, because that does a similar thing. So you can scratch that. You've already done that. And then if things are not responding or you plateau, you start to get better and plateau, then you can look more closely at the adrenals, thyroid, autoantibodies, and food allergies. Phew! Okay. So any particular questions before we go and have a break? And then we'll go into, we have one more case we're going to do, which was not finished on the last call. And then we'll go into some other things, like how do you take this stuff and actually get out there and get it out to people and actually start to make a good living doing it.
Okay. Thank you, Dr. Rita Marie.
Oh, you're welcome. Was that helpful?
Yes. Excellent.
Good.
Hopefully it helped other people too. Thanks.
Yeah, thank you. Okay, let me see if I can get my chat up. Oh, wow. Dorothy said if you get an account with Pure Encapsulation, you can run the 23andMe through their Pure Genomics and gives yourself. You know, I don't trust the supplement. Sorry, I'm just going to be a skeptic here. I don't trust the supplement recommendations necessarily, because there's no this for that when it comes to genetics. You know, as long as if a person's already doing the lifestyle stuff, eating more leafy greens, the raw greens, which Karen is definitely doing with all her juicing and smoothies, but a lot of people aren't. If they're not addressing the gut dysbiosis, the blood sugar, so much more, that's a problem. Yeah, you can use those as a guideline, but I'm not a big fan of it. I think it gives people the impression that it's just a matter of adding some supplements. Lana says she just started using Pectisolve. Pectisolve is the modified citrus pectin, and zeolite is separate, and you can do one or both. Thank you for that, Laura. I meant to ask her that. What's the source of mercury? How often are you eating fish? Is it that? Is it going out to restaurants once a week or whatever and having fish? That could be a source of it. Do you have any dental fillings, dental amalgams? So a lot of that stuff is very important. Yeah, Dorothy agrees that it's just clues. It's all clues, and the more clues we get, the better. I love running through those filters. Tree of Life. That's a good one too. I've run that report. You can pay a flat fee and then get access to it. There's some of them missing. The problem is with these genetic tests, there's no one that does all of the ones I want. So I end up spending a bunch of money running like 3 or 4 filters through it. Oh, they did? I'll have to look at it, Lynn. Amalgams is one and fish is another. So, and that can have an effect on your skin and the process there too. Okay, so let's see. See what else we have. Good source for zeolite. I use Health Force Nutritionals. They have it either in powder or in capsule form. And as far as the interpretation of the 23andMe, I do like the metabolic healing and the Stratagene as well. But I always run it through the free ones, the Genetic Genie, because it gives me a nice little summary of the SNPs. And plus, I've created some cheat sheets that we have in NEPT for that. Right. One of the bonuses you guys are getting is we're going to do a call. I think it's in February, and we're going to do a call. It's a brand new call. I've never done it before on the genetics, the SNPs that are related to digestion. I did some of it at Shine, but we had to like really run through it. Susan wants to know a good app to run the 23andMe. I've used Livewello, Dr. Amy Yasko. I don't know NutraHacker. Here's what I do. I start with the geneticgenie.org. They're really simple. It gives me the major methylation pathways. Really simple. They also have a little explanation thing. I've got a special sheet that we do in our nutrigenomics class. And then I run it through, mthfrsupport.com because it gives me like 49 pages of all of them, and there's certain ones in there that none of the others give me. And then I've really loved the strategy and then the metabolic healing. So I know it's expensive. What I would recommend is you run it on yourself, run it through all of them. You know, spend a couple $100 to run it through all of them, figure out which ones you like the best. Strategene is awesome, and so is metabolic healing. If you had to choose one, I'm leaning towards metabolic healing. So for those of you who are at Shine and were VIP at Shine, this coming Tuesday, we do have a call with Michael McAvoy, who created the metabolic healing one. Or if you did the live stream of Shine as well. Let's see. I'm looking. Stan says, maybe you misunderstood David. I don't know. No, he could have said that. Because progesterone can go to DHA and testosterone. It's just a circuitous route. Okay, I think I got them all. So let's go take a break. I'm going to get ready. I'm going to try to get as much ready of that other case as I can. It's another case from Claudia that we started on the last call, but we didn't get to finish. And when is the call? Which call are you talking about? The one from Shine? That should have gone out a week ago. Yeah, you should be getting that, Stan, because you paid to be at there, even though you didn't make it. So, Lynn, would you just make sure that Stanley is set up for that call? And anybody else that was a VIP at Shine, and also the people who did, I think we offered that to, or we will offer it to anybody that did the live stream of Shine. So let's make a note of that, and we'll make sure that everybody gets tagged so they get the reminder. But it's Tuesday evening, it's 7:30, and we'll make sure you get an email with the link. And anybody in NEPT gets it as well, of course. You get everything. No holes barred. Judy says, I'm excited to learn more about the genetics. I am so excited to teach it. I love teaching it. Expect that call goes longer than we expect it to go. I try to do an hour and a half, but usually there's so many questions and there's so much to talk about. It might go a little bit longer, but I created a really nice set of charts, that have most of the, well, not most of, a lot of the SNPs that we know about that are related to digestion. Yeah, we'll make sure. Okay, we'll make sure that anybody that did live stream or VIP or, you know, came to Shine, gets reminded of it. Okay? And if you still want to get that and you haven't, then, you can actually buy the videos. We should be able to get you that. Just let us know that you want to come to that call. And if you buy the videos before Tuesday, it'll be recorded so you can get it afterwards, but we'll offer it to anybody that does the videos, that's in CMDS and does the videos. And Lynn said, looks like you got the email on 1317, Stan, so check your spam box. Okay, let's take a break. It's 2:30. Let's go to 2:40. Let's do it at 2:50 to give me a little extra time to finish up. I know we're supposed to end at 3, but whoever wants to stay longer, I want to go over this last case and then do the educational piece. If you have to leave before the educational piece, no worries, because we'll just, it'll be on the web. Okay? Thank you, guys. Talk to you in a little bit. Bye.